Hello, Brother Mike here. Today we have another study in the book of Daniel. We've been studying chapter 8. Today we're going to cover verse 5. Once again, this is Brother Mike at may-212011.com. The title for the study, that is A Goat with a Notable Horn Came from the West on the Surface of the Whole Earth. Let me read that verse, verse 5 of Daniel 8, before we begin. That verse reads, "And as I was considering, behold, an he-goat came from the west on the surface of the whole earth, and touched not the ground. And the goat had a notable horn between his eyes." In our last study of Daniel 8:4, that you can click on to be refreshed of, in his vision, Daniel saw the ram pushing westward and northward and southward, and no living things could stand before him. Neither was there any that could deliver out of his hand. But he did according to his will and became great. From this verse, we learn that there is a double application or meaning. The meaning for Daniel's day was, as the angel Gabriel said to Daniel, that the ram pushed westward and northward and southward symbolized that it was God's purpose for the kings of Media and Persia, who were symbolized by the ram, and their kingdoms that were symbolized by the ram's two horns would push forward and conquer all the nations or peoples that they did. At first in history, it was the Median kingdom that became great, but eventually the Persian kingdom became greater and conquered the Median kingdom in 550 BC, incorporating it into the Persian kingdom to make Persia even greater. Persia then conquered in 525 BC to rule over what we would now call the entire Persia then conquered even more nations after it had conquered the Median kingdom. And it conquered Lydia in 547 BC, Babylon in 539 BC, and Egypt in 525 BC to rule over what we would now call the entire Middle East and even much more. So at the last, the ram's horn that symbolized the Persian kingdom became higher than the other horn on the ram that symbolized the Median kingdom, which is what we had learned in verse 3 of Daniel chapter 8. We also learned in our last study of verse 4 that no living things, i.e. peoples, could stand before him, that is, before the kings of Media and Persia. Neither was there any that could deliver out of his hand, that is, out of the hands or wills of the kings of Media and Persia. But he did according to his will and became great. So the kings of Media and Persia became great in their times as they went about conquering the various peoples around them. And none could deliver out of their hands. Indeed, they successfully accomplished whatever they wanted in conquering the peoples. The Median king, Astyages, that you can click on to see his biography, did so first, and then the Persian king, Cyrus, that you can click on, did so last by conquering the Median king in 550 BC, as I said, and then conquering Lydia in 547 BC, Babylon in 539 BC, and finally Egypt in 525 BC, as we are reminded in the following map. Now, to see the map, you may need to right-click on the map and select Download if the map does not appear in your browser. But now we also had learned in our previous study of verse 4 that there is also a spiritual application or meaning to Daniel 8:4 for the time of the end of the world. In this case, the ram symbolized Jesus Christ, and its two horns symbolize the church. Therefore, in that Daniel saw the ram pushing westward and northward and southward, and no living things, i.e. peoples, could stand before him, neither was there any that could deliver out of his hand, but he did according to his will and became great, refers to the church age that began on Pentecost of 33 A.D., when the Holy Spirit was first poured out, and it ran until May 21, 1988, when God, the Holy Spirit, removed himself from the corporate Christian church, which all Christian churches are a part, so that the Antichrist, and you can click on Antichrist to find out who that is, could completely take it over to rule as the perfect counterfeit Christ and deceive them all. Throughout this church age, wherever Christ, symbolized by the ram, through the Holy Spirit willed to go with the gospel, peoples who were predestined unto salvation from before the world even began could not stand against it. But every one of them heard and believed in Jesus Christ to become saved from their sins and hell, forgiven and made to be saints through the death and resurrection of their new Master and Lord, Jesus Christ, who had come to save his people alone from their sins. Matthew 1, verse 21, making them prophets, priests, and kings in him. Revelation 1, verse 6, who are blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Ephesians 1, verse 3. To the glory of the Father, as well as being freed from sin and the devil who rules over everyone that had not been born from above by the gift of the washing and regeneration of the Holy Spirit by May 21, 2011, when the day of the Lord, the many days of judgment day, began. Now, in this spiritual or deeper application or meaning to Daniel 8, verse 4, we learn that as Christ and his church went forth with the gospel during the church age, not only could no one who Christ had planned to save stand against the gospel, but every one of them came to hear and believe the gospel of Jesus Christ, having been freed from the kingdom of darkness and the devil and translated into the wonderful kingdom of his light and truth, to no longer serve Satan and his host, but to serve Jesus Christ alone, having been bought by the price of his death. For without death there could be no true freedom. Indeed, the wages for eternal freedom was eternal death, which means we are no longer ruled by the devil in chains of darkness, but we're set free with a completely free will and power to serve God alone, and no longer the devil who had won the right to rule over the entire human race at the beginning in the garden by deceiving Eve, who led Adam to sin as well. And furthermore, not only could no living thing, that is neither Satan and his host, nor any chosen person or people, stand against the gospel as it went forth with great power during the church age, but neither could Satan nor his host of demons and people deliver God's truly saved people out of Christ's hands. For he went forth with his church to conquer all who were chosen unto eternal life from the foundation of the world during the church age. As it is written in John chapter 6, verse 39, and this is the Father's will, which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. Therefore, we can see how Christ became great. He gave birth to a remnant of people from every nation out from the kingdom of Satan, this world, into his own kingdom by the sending forth of the powerful gospel into the world during the church age, so that by today, virtually everyone has heard of his greatness. In fact, most people can now easily say, saved and unsaved alike, Jesus Christ was the greatest man that ever lived. Now let's move on to our next verse, Daniel 8, verse 5, and let me read that once again. And as I was considering, behold, an he-goat came from the west on the face of the whole earth, and touched not the ground, and the goat had a notable horn between his eyes. Let's first consider the literal application or meaning of this verse. Before the end of the Old Covenant or Old Testament period, which was but a foreshadow or type of things to come near the end of the world in our time. Daniel first says, and as I was considering, behold, that is, as Daniel was considering what he saw in the previous verse 4 in our last study of the ram that we learned to be the kings of Media and Persia, that no living thing, that is people, could stand before him. Neither was there any that could deliver out of his hand, but he did according to his will and became great. He says, behold, which means for us to pay very careful attention to what Daniel sees in his vision, which we are told was that an he-goat came from the west on the face of the whole earth and touched not the ground, and the goat had a notable horn between his eyes. Then, in verse 21, the angel Gabriel literally interprets for Daniel just what this he-goat and its notable horn represented. Gabriel says in verse 21, and the rough, better translated as hairy goat, is the king of Grecia. And the great horn that is between his eyes is the first king. Thus, the he-goat in Daniel's vision is also called the rough goat, but it is better translated, as I said, as the hairy goat, which is how I will translate it from this time forward. Also, interestingly, this word hairy in the term hairy goat can be translated in some cases as demon or satyr. That is a mythological part human, part beast or goat. But since the word hairy in the term hairy goat in our text is an adjective and not a noun because it modifies the noun goat, we will continue to just translate it as hairy. But as we will see in the deeper spiritual translation of our verse when we get to that, the application or meaning of our verse for the time near the end of the world that we have now been in ever since May 21, 1988, the term hairy goat might just be better translated as demon goat. We will mention this again when we get to that point of looking at the deeper spiritual meaning and application meant for the near the end of the world. Remember, there is a double application, double meaning to Daniel chapter 8. One literal as interpreted by the angel Gabriel and given to Daniel for near the end of the Old Testament period, and another spiritual for the latter days of the world that we have been in ever since May 21, 1988, when God's final judgment on the world began first at the house of God, 1 Peter 4:17. Currently, we are looking at the literal meaning and application of Daniel 8, verse 6. That is Daniel 8, verse 5, I'm sorry, for near the end of the Old Testament or Old Covenant period. And then we will look at its deeper spiritual meaning and application for the last days of the world. Now, moving on to discover the literal meaning of verse 5 for today's study, Daniel is told by the angel Gabriel that this hairy goat was the king of Grecia, or we could say Greece. So as we were told in our last study in previous verse that the ram symbolized the kings of Media and Persia in the days of Daniel, here we are told that the hairy goat symbolized the king of Grecia, or Greece. And then we are next told by Gabriel that the great horn that is between his, that is the hairy goat's eyes, is the first king. The first king does not mean the first king in number that ruled over Grecia or Greece, but it means the first king in degree or prominence. Therefore, the chief king or greatest king that ruled over Grecia or Greece. And anyone who knows their ancient history and knows exactly who that greatest king was, it was Alexander the Great, of course. He was the great wild beast of a man as a warrior. In as little as 6 to 8 years, he conquered all the kingdom of Persia and much, much more, as can be seen in the following map of his conquests. You may need to right-click on the picture outline and select download to see the map if you can't see it. Well now, once again, our verse 5 of today's study reads, "And as I was considering, behold, an he-goat came from the west on the face of the whole earth, and touched not the ground. And the goat had a notable horn between his eyes." And because the angel Gabriel in verse 21 interpreted the he-goat in this verse to be the rough goat in the Authorized King James Version, which we saw is probably better translated as hairy goat, and Gabriel then interpreted this hairy goat to be the king of Grecia or Greece, and the notable horn between his eyes to be the great horn, which he said was the first king of Grecia or Greece, namely the chief king or the greatest king of Grecia, who could be none other than Alexander the Great during that time, we can now begin to understand the literal meaning or application for our verse 5 of today's study, as interpreted to Daniel by the angel Gabriel. So when our verse 5 of today's study says, "And he-goat came from the west on the face of the whole earth," because the prepositional phrase "on the face of" is more clearly translated, I believe, as "on the surface of," our verse means that the king of Grecia, symbolized as the he-goat, came on the surface of the whole earth. That is, the king of Grecia, that's Alexander the Great, came all the way from the west, that is from Macedonia at the top far left of the previous map, to the ram, which ram we had already learned in our previous study of verse 4 of Daniel 8 was interpreted by Gabriel to be the Median and Persian kings and their kingdoms that all became just one huge Persian kingdom under the monarchy of King Cyrus of Persia when he had conquered the Median king Astyages in 550 BC. Furthermore, since the angel Gabriel in verse 21 of Daniel 8, as we saw, interpreted the notable horn in between the goat's eyes to have been the great horn, and the first king in degree or prominence over Grisha, who was Alexander the Great, we know that when our verse 5 in today's study says, "And he-goat came from the west on the surface of the whole earth and touched not the ground, and the goat had a notable horn between his eyes," it is talking about Alexander the Great, a very famous and great individual in history. So we don't have to wonder why he was called notable and great, a great horn. A horn often symbolizes power and strength and authority, as we have seen many times throughout our studies of Holy Scripture. And so he was a notable and great horn because he was quite notable, or we could say a very famous power, strength, and authority in history, as well as having been very great in his incredible abilities to lead the Grecian army and conquer all the kingdoms of the then known world in such a short period of just 6 to 8 years. Interestingly, the ensigns or banners that went before his armies when they marched forward had the pictures of goats on them, adding further support for Alexander the Great being symbolized in Daniel's vision by the he-goat with the notable and great horn between his eyes, which, as Gabriel told Daniel, was the first in degree, that is, the greatest king of the Grecian or Greece Empire. Now, before moving on from the literal to begin to see the spiritual meaning and application of our verse 5 of today's study for the time of the end that we are now in, we notice that the he-goat, that is Alexander the Great, came from the west, that is from Macedon in the west toward the huge kingdom of Persia in the east. And he went there on the surface of the whole earth and touched not the ground, we are told. In our literal interpretation, we must ask the question, what does it mean as Alexander the Great came from Macedon in the west to conquer the huge empire of Persia in the east, that he touched not the ground? Obviously, it doesn't mean that Alexander the Great flew like a bird so that he did not literally touch the ground, for they did not have flying machines back then. No, instead, we must take this metaphorically to mean that Alexander the Great swiftly moved from place to place and conquered all the kingdoms in the known world, or of the known whole world in those days, as he went. In other words, he did not touch the ground, simply emphasizes how swift he battled and moved. As I said before, he was indeed a beast of a man, and he was so swift in his endeavors, it was as if he did not touch the ground, but he moved from place to place as swift as an eagle would fly. He was like a young goat leaping in the air with energy and so very swift, never getting tired, but stronger and stronger all the time. Well, we have now reached the juncture to begin to reveal the spiritual meaning and application of our Daniel 8, verse 5 of this study, which is the most important for us because the spiritual application and meaning is for all who have been present on this earth ever since the end of the world began with God's final judgment having come on the house of God, that is the corporate Christian church, which all Christian churches are a part of. And he came, and that began on May 21, 1988. And then having expanded to include the whole world on May 21, 2011, as well. And that's all according to the very accurate, and you can click on for the proofs and evidence, the very accurate biblical timeline of history that you can also click on to see. So let's begin by, once again, reminding ourselves of our verse 5 in this study, which reads, "And as I was considering, behold, an he-goat came from the west on the surface of the whole earth, and touched not the ground, and the goat had a notable horn between his eyes." We already learned that the literal meaning or application to this verse in the Old Covenant days was that the he-goat represented Alexander the Great. But who does this he-goat symbolize for the New Covenant days nearing the end of the world? Remembering that the ram symbolized Christ and his church going forth in the power of the Holy Spirit to conquer or save all his elect worldwide with the gospel of salvation during the church age for 1955 years from Pentecost of 33 AD to May 21, 1988, who is this he-goat, spiritually speaking? Most of you probably already know, but for those who do not know, to find out, we must look up the term he-goat, or just the word goat, or perhaps goats, in all the Bible. And nowadays, of course, we can just do that with a computer online Bible program to see how God defines those words of goat or he-goat, or in the plural, goats, how he defines them spiritually in all the various contexts in which they may be found. Then we must remain true to our context here in Daniel chapter 8 and apply what would be the best meaning and application to the word he-goat or goat given the context. We must let the Bible interpret the Bible. When we do that, we find that most of the time the term goat or goats or he-goats refer to a goat or goats that were sacrificed for sins in the Old Testament period, which sacrifices, of course, all foreshadowed when Christ would bear the sins of his elect in 33 AD on the cross. Spiritually speaking, we can say that Christ became as a goat, that is, a person full of all the sins of his elect, while he took their place on the cross, where they had deserved to be, and he paid the just punishment for all their sins on the cross in their place. So we can define goats as unsaved people, certainly, just as all God's people were once all goats, that is, unsaved people, until Christ, in a sense, became a goat for them. Taking all their sins upon himself, he became a goat on the cross, and then having applied the effects of this death and then resurrection from the dead to all his elect by spiritually having made them born from above at the foreordained times in their lives before the end of the day of salvation, which was on May 21, 2011. After which none could any longer be saved because God had then saved all whom he had planned to save from before the world ever began. Yes, predestination and election, no matter how many people don't like that, because they want to play a part somehow in their salvation, or they think it takes away from their free will and makes people robots, and all the various things they say as to why they don't like predestination and election. Those things are very clearly taught doctrines of Holy Scripture. So if you don't like them, you're in rebellion and still fighting against God. You may not quite understand. You see, all of us are born spiritually dead. A spiritual person, I mean dead toward God. Okay, dead toward being able to make a choice for salvation. We're spiritually dead. We can't possibly do that. So if God did not predestinate us and elect us to salvation and plan to do that from before the foundation of the world began, none would ever become saved. Indeed, without God having elected salvation to salvation, a remnant from every nation, none would ever have been eternally saved, for through the sin of Adam, all are conceived spiritually dead, and being spiritually dead at conception, none could ever believe or do anything else to come to spiritual life. Just as sure as the physically dead could never believe or do anything else for that matter to bring themselves physically back to life, for they are dead. Indeed, if Christ had not predestined and elected a remnant from every nation, as I said, we would all deserve and so suffer eternal death. None would or could be saved. So we glory in the doctrines of predestination and election. And all the glory goes to God the Father through Jesus Christ. We can also see, for instance, that the word goats spiritually symbolizes the unsaved, for example, in the parable of Matthew 25, of the parable of the sheep and goats. Verses 31, I guess I'll read that whole thing through 46. When the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory, and before Him shall be gathered all nations, and He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And He shall set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on His left. Then shall the King say unto them on His right hand, that is the sheep, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you, notice, from the foundation of the world. When He predestinated them, for I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee hungry and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the King shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, that is the goats, Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you took me not in. Naked, and you clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and you visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee hungry, or athirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it not for one of the least of these, you did it not to me. And these, that is the goats, shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Obviously, After hearing that parable, therefore, the term goat or goats refer to the unsaved, which leads to the next question. What then, in our spiritual meaning and application, is the he-goat that came from the west on the surface of the whole earth and touched not the ground, and that had a notable horn between his eyes? We can certainly conclude that whatever it is, it must be an unsaved being of some kind, since we just previously learned that a goat spiritually refers to an unsaved being. So, whereas we found that the ram symbolizes Christ, who is obviously a saved being, the he-goat is an unsaved being. And because this he-goat in Daniel's vision is about to battle with the ram, Christ, in bitterness of anger, as we read in the next two verses, 6 to 7 of Daniel chapter 8, we can conclude that this he-goat is a great enemy of Christ. And who is unsaved and the greatest enemy of Christ? The answer is obvious. That's right, it's Satan himself. Indeed, the he-goat must be the devil. Next, in verse 5 of today's study, we are first told that this he-goat, that is Satan, came from the west on the surface of the whole earth. In interpreting this spiritually, when we are told that Satan came from the west, it is not revealing that he literally came from the west according to an earthly map or a compass in the way that Alexander the Great did in the literal meaning or application. But to have come from the west spiritually symbolizes that the he-goat, Satan, came from the direction of darkness, because the sunlight goes down in the west, which makes him of the darkness and not the light. But if you will remember, the ram Christ, on the other hand, to have come from the opposite direction, the east, symbolizes that he came from the direction of the light, because the sunlight comes up in the east, which makes him of the light and not the darkness. So, in the spiritual meaning of things, coming from the west does not reveal an actual direction of coming on a map or compass, but it simply signifies that the he-goat, Satan, came from the realm where the sun goes down, where the light is extinguished, the realm of darkness, whereas the ram, Christ, came from the realm where the sun comes up, where the darkness is extinguished, the realm of the light. Now, in the spiritual interpretation of things, what does it mean that the he-goat, Satan, came on the surface of the whole earth? In our past study of the Great Tribulation in Revelation chapter 13, we already learned that the whole earth spiritually symbolizes all the Christian churches worldwide. And you can click on Revelation 13:3 and begin reading at the last paragraph on page 4 through page 10. Also, you can click on Revelation 13:8 and see how all that dwell upon the earth, which basically means the same thing, the whole earth and all them that dwell upon the earth. And you'll find that the spiritual meaning is all that dwell upon the earth are all those that dwell in the Christian churches. The earth symbolizes the Christian church spiritually. Therefore, that the he-goat Satan came on the surface of the whole earth, the word translated on, by the way, can be legitimately translated as above in the Hebrew, means that Satan came above the surfaces of all the Christian churches, and to spiritually be above all the Christian churches means that Satan was now above all the Christian churches in power, strength, and authority, and had been given rule over them. In other words, this all has to do with Satan, who had been cast out of heaven. And you can click on Revelation 12, 7 through 9 to see that. And bound in the pit of this earth at the cross. And you can click on Revelation 20, the first few verses, to learn about that more. Had now been released. Satan had now been released from that pit of this earth on May 21, 1988, according to the very accurate biblical timeline of history, to have great power and strength to be used of God to bring His final judgment on the world by beginning His judgment at, you got it, His very own house or temple, the corporate Christian church that all Christian churches are a part of. Then, God did also continue to use the devil, even though he had been dethroned by Christ, to expand God's final judgment to the whole world on May 21, 2011, when there became no more possibility for anyone else to become eternally saved. And there's about 16, 17, or 18 or so links that you can click on for evidence and proof that salvation ended on May 21, 2011, when the day of the Lord, or the day of Yahweh, or judgment day began. Indeed, for those who have been given eyes to see, this end to eternal life and salvation is revealed in many places of Holy Scripture. We further see that Satan had been released from the pit of this earth that once kept him bound to this earth with far less power and strength, although he could go about as a roaring lion seeking people to devour. He was still bound in the sense that he couldn't frustrate God's plan as he did in the Old Testament period from going out, sending the gospel out to the whole world. So he had far less power and strength, because verse 5 of our study says, "And he touched not the earth." I say the earth instead of the ground, as the Authorized King James Version translated it, because the word ground here is really the same word for earth that we learned of when the he-goat came above the whole earth. It's the same word, so I'm going to translate it as earth. It is the very same word, like I said, that we translated as earth previously, when our verse said that the he-goat Satan came on the surface of the whole earth, as he came above or over the surfaces of all the Christian churches, meaning that he now had power, strength, and authority above or over the corporate Christian church. And by Daniel seeing that Satan also touched not the ground, that is the earth, spiritually symbolizes the Christian church. It means that Satan was no longer bound or restrained in the pit of the earth. That is the pit that kept him restrained in the Christian church. For we read in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 6 through 8, "And now you know what withholds," that is, restrains, "the counterfeit Christ," the Antichrist or man of sin, Satan himself, "from being revealed, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity," that is, the devil working in the church, "does already work, only he," that is the Holy Spirit, "who now lets," that is, restrains, "will let," that is, will restrain, "until he," the Holy Spirit, "be taken out of the way," that is, out of the midst of the Christian church. So Satan had been being restrained in the Christian churches throughout the church age from being able to completely take him over, although he was working within them and preparing for the Great Tribulation that would come on May 21, 1988 by infiltrating the churches with many, many, many unsaved people. And then in verse 8 of 2 Thessalonians 2, it says, "And then," that is after the Holy Spirit had been taken out of the midst, and that was on May 21, 1988, "and then shall that wicked one be revealed." That is, that wicked one is the counterfeit Christ, the man of sin, or the Antichrist, the devil himself. And you can click on for proof that the man of sin, or the son of perdition, or the counterfeit Christ, they're all one and the same. They are the Antichrist. And the Antichrist is not a man that we're waiting to look for, that we're looking for to come. He's already come, and he's already in the churches. And he is the one who brought judgment on them, which is the Great Tribulation. But when he was revealed to be ruling in and over the corporate Christian church, which all Christian churches are a part of. And so the devil is ruling in them, also without them even knowing it. This is the great deception of Satan during these last few days of the world. And the only way that anyone could have ever known, by the way, when Satan was released from the pit of the earth to be revealed as ruling in and over the Christian church, was not by sight. As Satan is a master deceiver and an invisible spirit. But it was by the word of God himself that Satan had been revealed. Because it was the word of God that gave us the true and very accurate biblical timeline of history in the latter part of the 19th century that showed us when Satan had been revealed. Otherwise, how could anyone ever know that? Well, they say he's going to be revealed in some rebuilt Jewish temple and that kind of stuff, but the Bible doesn't teach that. That's another big false doctrine of many, many Christian churches that basically teach Zionism, and everything's focused on Zion, but that's a false doctrine. Anyway, thus we know that Satan was released from the pit on May 21, 1988 by the Holy Scriptures to be used of God as the counterfeit Christ, the Antichrist, also known as the man of sin, the son of perdition, the beast, the little horn, and the abomination of desolation, all of which are just different names in the Bible for Satan himself. And Satan was used by God according to how it is written in 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 3 through 5. "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first." That's the falling away of the Christian church from truth. And then God brings his judgment against the church for having so many false things falling away from the truth, so many false Christians in them, false teachings, some more, some less. And that man of sin would then be revealed, that is the counterfeit Christ, the Antichrist Satan, on May 21, 1988, to be revealed as ruling in and over the whole Christian church. He's also the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he is God's sit, and the sit in the Bible means to rule in the temple of God, that is the Christian church. 1 Corinthians 3:16 through 17, 2 Corinthians 6, verse 16, of which all Christian churches, of course, are a part of the corporate Christian church. And Satan sits there showing himself that he is God. And then Christ says to his disciples, so there's no way that the day of the Lord could have come way back 2,000 years ago, approximately, is what Christ is saying here, because that wouldn't happen until the churches had fallen away from the truth, which happened in our day leading up to May 21, 1988. And anyone who's been around long enough to see that, they saw how far the churches fell from truth. It was more getting more and more difficult very rapidly to find a good a church that actually was teaching truth. And Jesus said, remember ye not that when I was with you I told you these things? Now remember that Gabriel literally interpreted our verse 5 of this study in verse 21 to be this. And the hairy goat is the king of Grecia. And the great horn that is between his eyes is the first king. But now we want the spiritual meaning or application to this verse. The hairy goat, of course, is the devil, as we had previously learned. But why is he said to be hairy? Remember what was said previously in our study. Spiritually, this word hairy could be translated as demon. And we are greatly encouraged by this because it makes perfect sense that Satan would be spiritually called the demon goat. For he is a demon and a goat. And being a goat, as we had previously learned, means he is unsaved. Then Satan, symbolized as a demon goat, which means he is an unsaved demon, is said to be the king of Grecia. And spiritually, what then must Grecia or Greece represent? Since we are told that Satan is the king of Greece or Grecia, Grecia or Greece must spiritually represent Satan's kingdom, the world, or we could say the kingdom of Babylon. It is the kingdom of the unsaved. This is why, for instance, in Scripture, we see God divide up the peoples into the Jews and the Greeks. For instance, we read in Romans 1 through 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. And again in Romans 10, verse 12, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. Furthermore, we read in Acts 20, 21, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And in 1 Corinthians 1, verses 23 through 24, but we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Thus we see that God represents all the peoples as being either Jews or Greeks. The Jews were the whole nation of Israel that once represented the kingdom of God in the Old Covenant. And the Greeks represented every other nation in the known world of that time. And these all represented the kingdom of Satan. Therefore, God spoke of the Jews and the Greeks to symbolize the only two spiritual kingdoms on the planet, Earth. The kingdom of God, that is, the Jews, and the kingdom of Satan, the Greeks. Of course, in the New Covenant, the Jews became all who believe in Jesus Christ as their Messiah and God, whether Jew or Greek. And the Greeks became everyone who does not believe in Christ as their Messiah and God, no matter what their nationality. Interestingly, the word Greece in Greek means unstable, the miry one, The point being, when the angel Gabriel reveals that the he-goat in Daniel's vision to be the demon goat, which we have learned is the devil in the spiritual application and meaning for the latter days that we have been in, and this devil is then said to be the king of Greece or Grecia by Gabriel, it means that Satan rules an unstable kingdom, like a road abounding in mud, which keeps everyone ensnared and lost. It is the kingdom of all the unsaved billions of people in the world. It is called the world, or the kingdom of Babylon. Now finally, we found that Gabriel literally interpreted the notable horn between the eyes of the he-goat that Daniel saw in his vision to be a great horn, and also the first king of Grecia, or Greece. So we must now ask the question, since in the spiritual application and meaning of things, we found that the he-goat is the demon goat, that is, the king of Grecia, the unsaved devil himself, what then does the great horn between his eyes represent? Well, Gabriel told Daniel that the great horn that is between his eyes is the first king. The first king of what? The first king of Grecia, or Greece, of course. But it does not mean the first king in number, but rather the first king in degree or prominence. Okay. That is the greatest king of Grecia or Greece. In the literal application and meaning, we found that that king to be Alexander the Great. But in the spiritual application and meaning, for the latter days that we have been in ever since May 21, 1988, the greatest or first in degree or prominence king of Grecia or Greece is Satan himself. For we just previously learned that Grecia or Greece, the kingdom of the Greek or Greeks, symbolizes Satan's kingdom and now all the billions of unsaved people in the world. So, who must the great horn be, since we were told that the great horn that is between his eyes is the first king? The answer is quite simple. Since the first king is Satan, and the great horn that is between his eyes is the first king, the great horn is obviously Satan as well. He is called a great horn because a horn symbolizes power, strength, and authority in the Bible. So in that Satan is a great horn means that he has great power, strength, and authority, especially as we will see when he spiritually destroyed the whole corporate Christian church and even tramples upon Christ, who is symbolized as the ram during the Great Tribulation that Daniel later sees in his vision. But it also says later in Daniel's vision that all this power of Satan is not his own. It's not by his own power that this takes place. No, it's not. God permits him or gives him the power to be able to destroy his own church. For judgment had to begin, and this is the final judgment, the judgment against every Christian church, not just some. So, in the study of Daniel 8, verse 5, we have once again seen a double application or meaning to the verse. Oh, how great, manifold, I should say, the many layered wisdom of God, the manifold wisdom of God. It can be double or triple layered. It can have more than one application or meaning. And, of course, the spiritual is what is the most important for our day. The literal application and meaning of the latter days of the Old Covenant or Testament that foreshadowed or typified the spiritual application and meaning for the latter days of the New Covenant or Testament Remember, the entire Old Covenant was but a foreshadow or type of spiritual things that would be revealed in the last days, the time when from when Christ came to earth to the end of the world. And this vision of Daniel 8 began to be spiritually fulfilled in the latter days of the last days that we have been in ever since God's final judgment against the world began, first at his own house, namely all the Christian churches, on May 21, 1988, according to the very accurate biblical timeline of history. Then that judgment expanded to the whole world, as well as when the many days of the Day of the Lord, Judgment Day, that is, began on May 21, 2011, and when God had eternally saved all of his elect, ending the many days of the Day of Salvation. Now, our verse of study reads, one last time. This should be ingrained in our heads by now. And as I was considering, behold, an he-goat came from the west on the surface of the whole earth and touched not the ground, and the goat had a notable horn between his eyes. We found the literal application or meaning of this verse to be a picture of Alexander the Great, symbolized by the he-goat, who came from the west, that is Macedonia, on the surface of the whole earth and touched not the ground. That is, he and his armies came from the west to conquer the entire known world of that day, which included the great kingdom of Persia. And he touched not the ground because he did conquer the whole known world so swiftly in only 6 to 8 years. It was as if he could fly over all the known obstacles that would hinder any usual man. Additionally, he was said to have a notable horn between his eyes. And the angel Gabriel literally interpreted that horn to be a great horn, which he said was the first or greatest king of Grecia, or Greece, which in turn had to be Alexander the Great, for he was the only great while of a ruler in Greece who ever conquered the whole known world of his day. So it became obviously clear why he was called the Great Horn, for he indeed had great power, strength, and authority for a man, and that was symbolized by the Great Horn between his eyes. Finally, we look to the spiritual application and meaning to our verse, which is most important for us today, and we found that the he-goat that came from the west on the surface of the whole earth and touched not the ground was a picture of Satan after he was loosed from the pit on May 21, 1988, that he was bound in at the cross. And he was said to have come from the west because in the west is where the sun that symbolizes Jesus Christ goes down. You see, the west represents where the light is extinguished and the realm of spiritual darkness is manifested. So in that Satan came from the west simply means that he came from the realm of darkness and has nothing to do with what direction he came from on a map or compass. And then we are told that Satan came on the surface of the whole earth and touched not the ground. The preposition on in the phrase on the surface of the whole earth can also be translated as above. So we can say that Satan came above the surface of the whole earth and touched not the ground in our spiritual interpretation. And spiritually, in that he was said to be above the surface of the whole earth, meant that he had power to gain rule over the whole corporate Christian church during what we will find was the Great Tribulation from May 21, 1988 to May 21, 2011. And that he touched not the ground can be translated, he touched not the earth, because that word ground is the same word earth, which we found meant that Satan was no longer bound in the pit of the earth in the Christian church that had kept him restrained from completely conquering the church. Yes, on May 21, 1988, the devil was freed and given power to spiritually begin to completely destroy the corporate church finally, which includes all Christian churches, and trample upon Christ himself, as we will see in our further study of Daniel chapter 8. Now, until the next time, may Yahweh bless thee and keep thee. Yahweh make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. Yahweh lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.